Well, it's time to get your Bible and to become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. I suggest you go ahead and be opening your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. And in just a few moments, we are going to conclude the lessons that we have been studying on David. We're studying a series of lessons about great men and women of the Old Testament. And we have studied Abraham, and we've studied Samuel, and now we are studying David. I think we studied Joseph along the way as well. And now we're studying King David. And so in just a moment, we'll read 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. And this is the account of the time that Samuel, the judge, anointed David to be king. Now while you're turning to that passage, 1 Samuel 16, 13, I'll let you know the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the material that we are studying in this school is material that a preacher by the name of E. A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of 1923. And we're currently going to be concluding here a lesson he wrote for the Sunday of May 13th, 1923. Now let me read you the verse we're going to conclude on, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, for the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, fulfilling his mission. And according to God's command in the preceding verse, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, all of whom had been rejected by the Lord as unprepared in heart to be king. This anointing was doubtlessly done privately, as in Saul's case. The intention was not to proclaim it to the world yet. This assured David that God was pleased with him and had honored him in making him the Lord's anointed. In this particular, he represented the Lord on the earth among his people. And in the case of Saul, so in David's case, as soon as he was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It says the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon David from that day forward. David was not always under the influence of the Spirit, but the Spirit was with him from that day forward. The Spirit was not with Saul, for the Spirit of Jehovah departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of Jehovah troubled him. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. The Spirit gave David wisdom and guided him to do the things which in his surroundings were best. The Spirit did not protect him from temptation and sin, as his afterlife shows. God never miraculously endowed men with the Spirit to shield them from the temptations of sin. Everyone must overcome these, as Paul, even Paul, had to bring his body and his passions under subjection. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, Paul wrote, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." Well, when we think of what a spiritual giant Paul was in the New Testament, and yet he had to control himself, that ought to tell us that we need to learn how to control ourselves as well. The Spirit had departed from Saul, because he refused to be guided by that spirit. Now when his mission had been performed, Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And the remaining of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel shows how David was introduced to Saul's family. This lesson is only the beginning of David's eventful life. Being confined to the lesson text precludes the extended study or survey of his life, although on this program, if you have been listening, we read many passages that pretty well outline David's life. David had slain Goliath. He's going to have experiences with King Saul. He'll become king and reign for 40 years. His sins and sorrows on account of them are recorded in the sacred text. And then we read the sad rebellion in his own family, and his victories, and his charge to his son Solomon, and his death. Now that pretty much brings this lesson to a conclusion, except for, right at the end of the questions that go along with this Sunday school lesson, are these words from the 46th Psalm, verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And with that, I turn the page in my little old Sunday school book, and I see that the next lesson was written for the Sunday of May 20th, 1923. And the title of this lesson is Elijah, the Brave Reformer. Certainly, when we think about the great men of the Old Testament, Elijah would come to mind. He stands at the head of many prophets that would follow, and many of them who wrote their prophecies. And so we have the books of the prophets bringing the Old Testament to a close. Now, to get from David to Elijah, let me briefly tell you what happens in the Bible story. After David became king, the kingdom passed to his son Solomon. And in many respects, Solomon was a great king. He started off so humble, seeking the wisdom of God in all he did, and God blessed him with that wisdom and also with great riches in his kingdom. It was Solomon that built the temple in Jerusalem, but Solomon also did not use the wisdom that God gave him. He took to himself many wives, and many of these from among the pagans, and he built houses of worship to the false gods of his wives right there in the city of Jerusalem. And with this, God was not pleased. And so God was going to take much of the kingdom away from Solomon, but not in his lifetime. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king, and Rehoboam decided he would raise the taxes on the people in Israel. He was listening to the young men that were with him rather than the older wise men that were advising him to relieve their burden of taxes. But Rehoboam was going to show just how big and tough he was as a king and set everything straight. Well, that proved to be foolishness. Jeroboam came from Egypt. He had been exiled into Egypt, and he returned from Egypt and led the 10 northern tribes of Israel into rebellion against Solomon. And Solomon was left rebellion against Rehoboam, and Rehoboam was left ruling only in Jerusalem and Judea and the lands to the south. Now, it is a sad tale of kings that we read about in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, because we read about a divided kingdom with kings to the north and kings to the south. The kings to the north were kings of several family dynasties, one replacing the other. They were treacherous kings, murderous kings, idolatrous kings, and they oppressed the people. And gradually that kingdom fell into such disregard that God raised up the Assyrians and carried those people away into a captivity from which they never returned. Now the southern kings were all descendants of David, but many of them were not much better than the northern kings. And after that northern kingdom was carried into Babylonian captivity, then God raised up Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and he carried the southern kingdom away into captivity as well. But from that Babylonian captivity, many of them were able, after about 70 years, to return and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. And that kind of sets us up to the close of the Old Testament, where we go through this period of a gap in the history, but it opens up into the New Testament when the children of Israel are under the Roman rule. And we'll discuss that more in detail as we get to that point. But here is what happened. After the people settled in the land, God ruled the people by the judges. But in rejecting the judges, they were rejecting God. And God ruled the people by the kings, but the kings did not prove worthy of the trust God gave them. And so with the demise of the kings, God ruled the people through his word, as it was given to them by the prophets. And so we see the spiritual leadership of Israel pass from the judges to the kings, to the prophets. And the head of these prophets, not the head of them in that he had authority over other prophets, but he was one of the first of the prophets that God turned to when he turned away from the kings, is this prophet Elijah. And there's so much of interest in Elijah's life. Now, we'll be studying Elijah. You might remember that the kingdom or that leadership of Elijah passed from Elijah later to Elisha, and then the prophets that followed. And so we'll have prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Hosea, and Joel, and Amos, and Obadiah, and many of those prophets and the things they said as prophets we have written down. And so we have the books of the prophets in the Old Testament. And it was through these prophets that God provided that spiritual leadership to Israel. Now let's begin reading about the life of Elijah. We begin reading that in Elijah chapter 17. And one thing to note about this Elijah is how he just simply appeared suddenly on the scene. He is a prophet to the northern kingdoms and the northern kings. In fact, he becomes a prophet during the time of Ahab and Jezebel, whose names are synonymous with wickedness and treachery. And it was while Ahab and Jezebel were ruling in northern Israel that the people of Israel had turned to worship Baal. And in the midst of this tragedy, God raised up Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the sojourners of Galilee, said unto Ahab, As Jehovah the God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook as I have commanded." And so, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I am looking, and I see, here it is. 1 Samuel. I had a bit of confusion there because my Bible has a page that is misplaced. And so I had to find my place in this, and I have worked this out now. All the pages are there, but one of them is misplaced. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin this reading again in our next class period. We'll begin with 1 Kings chapter 17. And you may want to read ahead and read about the life of Elijah. And if you can, come by and worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. This is Bill Boyd.